Last week, we, this is still the early part of the year, and I wanted to start the year out with the plan of salvation. Amen. Dick's Sunday morning class is dealing with that. Last week, we looked at the early parts of the steps of salvation, that you've got to hear the word of God. That's where it all starts. No one has ever been saved just poof without ever hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Either through reading it themselves, hearing somebody else read it to them, maybe speaking to God directly. And our scripture reading the last 2 weeks have been the same scripture. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, that God in various times and in various ways spoke through his prophets. He has spoken through burning bushes, through earthquakes, through speaking directly. But it says, but in these last days, this era that we live in, these last days, he has spoken to us through his son Jesus. And if that's the case, which it is, it would behoove us to heed those words.
Amen.
For salvation. Last week we looked at hearing the word of God, and then the fact that we have the choice to either believe that word or not. And we have to believe in God and believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior. There was a lot of people that believed that Jesus existed. They saw him, they heard him. But many of them didn't believe that he was the Son of God that was going to bring salvation. That needs to be believed. We looked at the concept that once we believe, we need to confess that belief to others. We think, oh, that's easy. It's easy to do, not always easy to follow through with. Not only confessing verbally, but confessing through our actions. Peter, who knew Jesus and walked and ate and listened and learned from him, had it tough to confess him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He was scared of a servant girl. He, just moments before, he's ready to fight to the death against armed men. But a servant girl brought him to his knees. We have to confess that belief toward men that he is the Christ, the Son of God. We saw the example of the Ethiopian eunuch doing that. And we have to repent of our sins and be baptized. And we're going to look at that today. Repenting of our sins, let's go with what repentance is not first. Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. It may include that. It definitely includes that with going to God and saying I'm sorry to God. But it's not just saying I'm sorry. It is actually a change. You don't just keep going the same direction. You have to change your direction.
Amen.
Those of us that are married, we will get understand this. When we do something dumb to our wife, say something dumb, put her foot in her mouth, if we just say we're sorry, but keep right on going on being dumb, it don't do any good.
Amen.
You actually have to change. So saying sorry is a step in the right direction. Okay? I've just heard of that. A friend told me. I got a friend. Matthew 4:17, in the early part of Jesus' ministry, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
It is at hand. It's close. The church had not started yet, but Jesus is preaching, the kingdom is coming. It's close. You need, therefore, to repent. In Luke 13:3, our scripture reading, in these last days, Jesus, our God speaks to us through His Son. Well, His Son says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He repeats it in verse 5. The same thing. Acts 2:38, when the people on the day of Pentecost had heard Peter's lesson about how they were responsible, their actions were responsible for putting Jesus, who was the Savior, the Son of God, you are responsible for putting Him to death. You crucified Him. You crucified the Son of God. Verse 37 says, they were cut to the heart. Talk about doing something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
They were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter tells them. Peter tells them the remedy for what they did. It's not a run for your life because there is nothing you can do. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he will, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. First thing he says, repent. Don't keep going the direction and doing the things that had caused that change. The Romans, the letter to the Romans applies an awful lot to us today. They found out, Paul taught them about grace. A wonderful thing. I'm glad God's given us His grace.
Amen.
But the Romans misunderstood it. Paul taught them, you'll get as much grace as you need. Some of us need more grace than others.
Amen.
me too. We need some grace.
Amen.
Some of us need more grace than others. God will provide it. They misunderstood, well, if we're going to get more grace by sinning, why not just sin more? Bring it on. Let open up the floodgates. Let's sin all we want, and we will get that much more grace. Paul addresses that concept that the Roman Christians had, but not only that, what some people misunderstand today. Paul starts out in chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? As a Christian, we put to death that old life. That is part of repentance. It's changing. We don't just keep going in that path that we had been on. After we've heard the Word of God and learn about it, after we believe in it, after we've taken the time to confess verbally and through our actions, We're not just going to keep going that same direction. We're going to change. Acts 17:30 kind of tells us about God. He had patience. My mom used to say, "Don't try my patience."
Amen.
She had some. But don't push it to the limit. That's what God's saying. Truly, these times of ignorance, the times of you humans playing the fool, acting the fool, being ignorant, God overlooked. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because God overlooked it didn't mean He condoned it.
Amen.
He, just because He didn't punish it immediately, did not mean He wasn't against it.
Mm-hmm.
He overlooked it. He let it slide for a while. I don't want to roll the dice and see how much longer He will keep overlooking things. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Them, us. The Apostle Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has patience.
Amen.
Let's not push it.
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches of Asia, five of those churches, there were things that the Lord had against those churches. And in every case, the remedy was repent.
Mm-hmm.
This church, I've got this against you. You got some good things, but the answer was repent. This congregation got some good things, but repent. That's no difference. That's no different for us today. 2 Corinthians 7:10, this describes and defines repentance. It's not just, "I'm sorry." For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. There is a big difference in, "Man, I did a dumb thing. I'm sorry I got caught. Because I'm having to pay the consequences. I got fired. Man, I'm sorry I did this. I'm now on restriction at home. I'm sorry that I'm not able to go out and play with my friends. Because I'm on restriction for a week. Man, I'm sorry I got caught." And we've said this many times before. Tracy and Marion spent a career as corrections officers at some of the toughest prisons there are. The prisons are full of people that are sorry they got caught. How many of them, when they get out, repeat? That's the thing. Too many. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Sorrow of the world leads to death. Acts 26, verse 20. The tail end of that verse says that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Not just, "Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get back to what I was doing." But do works that reflect and are befitting repentance. James says the same thing. James 2:20. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to change. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry it hurt you. I'm not going to change. I'm sorry you're hurt by it. Maybe you need to change. That don't go, that don't fly. It's not my house. And last but not least, we need to be baptized. A lot of our religious friends that we may work with, that we may talk across the fence at home with, the people that we see at the grocery store, maybe even people in our own families. There's very little disagreement so far. That you've got to believe in God. That you've got to confess Him. That you've got to repent. There's not a lot of religious argument so far. But when you get to baptism, some people balk at that. And I'd like for us to look at some of the scriptures that reinforce the concept of baptism. Baptism, and we've covered this before, the Greek word is baptizo. And the actual meaning of the word is to dip, plunge, or immerse. Religious denominations have perverted the word baptize or baptism to include other things. Sprinkling, dipping their hand in water and placing, you know. They've perverted what the word means to satisfy them. Baptism, one, has to be for forgiveness of sins. In the name of Martin Luther, it's not in the name of John Calvin, it's not in the name of Joseph Smith, it's in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's who you're being baptized into. It has to be immersion, as we've said. We have zero examples in the Bible you into a device called a baptistry, but all they're doing is getting you wet if it's not your decision. You can't do it out of emotion. You can't do it out of pressure. I'm getting married, and my future spouse expects it of me. It will keep the peace in the family. My heart's not in it. I'm doing it for him or her. It can't be your decision. It can't be when you're an infant child.
Amen.
They can't make a decision. First of all, if it's for the forgiveness of sins, what sins does a little baby have?
No,
it has to be your decision. It can't be for a dead person. Which some religious groups, they will line up. I'm going to get baptized for so-and-so. I'm getting baptized for so-and-so. Wouldn't that be nice? Because I bet you every one of us has a list of people. If we could be baptized for them,
mm-hmm.
I'm going first. Because there's some people I want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it worked. Well, I don't. But wouldn't it be nice if it did work that way? Let's look at some scriptures. Scripture that most of you have probably memorized by now. And if you haven't, I don't know why you haven't, because it's used a lot. Mark 16:16, these are the words of Jesus. He who believes and. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Not a lot of wiggle room there. The response to Peter. He had told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful verse. It explains an awful lot. That you have to repent before baptism. You've got to decide to die to that self. Mm-hmm. That old self. Let every one of you, not just one of you, be baptized for the group. Do it in the name of Jesus. And the why? For the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Mm-hmm. Peter addresses it. He says, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Amen. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the water. It's not that we're scrubbing the dirt off. If you're thinking that, this is a good time because that water's clean. It's been drained. It's a new lining. I'm sure we could scrounge some soap up, but that's not what it is. Look at where people were being baptized. They were being baptized in the Jordan, mm-hmm. a very dirty river. Mm-hmm. Naaman argued that very point when it was told to go cleanse yourself in the Jordan. He cleansed myself in the... What about the rivers of the Abana and Pharpar? They're cleaner water. Do it in the Jordan. It's not the water. We're not scrubbing the dirt off of our skin. We're cleansing our soul with the blood of Christ. It's what the Ethiopian eunuch did when Philip taught him in the chariot and they got to some water. He was connecting the dots. Here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? If what you're saying, Philip, about baptism and salvation, here's water, why can't I be saved? And Philip responded, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is Christ, you can. And he made that great confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then the eunuch, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized. We see baptism at work. We see immersion at work. They weren't going along the road. Oh, so I understand that I need to be baptized. Let me take my water bottle. Philip, flick me a little bit, and we'll be on our way. I'm a busy man. I got things to do. Chop, chop. Let's get going. They went down into the water. Acts 10:48, and he commanded them. Baptism is not, oh, it'd be really good if you did. It's not a... Baptism, what is it? Is an outward sign of an inward belief. It's not that. He commanded them. Not on the third Thursday of every month we'll have a baptism day. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Acts 18:8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. Here's that, what we were talking in class about. Belief has action that goes along with it. Believed on the Lord with all of his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. What? It's just explaining the steps that they had taken. We see it described here in an example. Paul describes it in Romans 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Comparing that baptism, we die. Nobody buries a live person. You die to yourself. You're buried, and just like Christ raised up a new creature, we raise up out of the waters of baptism a new creature, a Christian. Acts 22:16, it was told to Paul. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why are you waiting? I'm going to ask you in this lesson, thank you for staying with me a little over time. Have you done what the Bible says to do to be saved? And that's what's important.
Amen.
It's not what I say.
Right.
It's not what Frank says. Not what Kelly says to be saved. It's what if the Bible say, and have you done it?
Amen.
And I'm going to ask that same question that was asked Paul. Why are you waiting if you haven't? Most of us I know are baptized believers. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't made that final step to become a Christian, please do so today. Well, let's stand. The invitation's offered. Daryl will lead us in the song. Let's stand and sing.